Welcome to the Confidence in Christ podcast. I'm Kayla, and I'm here to offer you the opportunity to grow in your confidence of the Lord. Through interviews with friends, simple and practical scripture application to your life, and some good old-fashioned tough love at times, you will be more equipped to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ after hanging out here with us. I'm a woman just like you who loves the Lord with all of my heart and is doing my best to follow His will for my life. Meeting you here weekly and passing on the knowledge He has given me is part of what that looks like. I am so honored that you're here, and I can't wait to help you get to know God in new and exciting ways through the podcast. Hey, I am so glad that you are here for another week of the podcast. This season, I know I keep saying it, but this season has just had so many great nuggets from the Lord that just reach at least me. I'm praying that it reaches you too, right where you are, because He just loves you so much, and He does not bring you to these episodes on accident. This is a divine appointment, friend, and what you're about to hear from my friend Carol is a divine appointment. We are talking all about caretakers and the caretaker's journey. Carol has been through a lot in her life, and she is the caretaker of her husband, who struggles with mental health issues and anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, all of those things. And she is living a very vulnerable and transparent life where she is sharing with you how the Lord has transformed her life, how He is helping her through every single day, and what that looks like practically for you. She is an author, a podcaster, a coach, a speaker. She is just such a light for the Lord, especially in this realm of caretakers, because we're going to talk about it here in the episode, but just the amount, the sheer amount of caretakers in the U.S. and how one in five of us will be caretakers. Like, it's just, it blows my mind, and nobody is talking about this, but Carol is. So today is for you. This is for people that you know. Take some time and listen to it, because it is going to bless you in so many ways. So let's dive in with Carol Leatherman. Carol, thank you so much for joining me today. I am so eager for our conversation.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it, Kayla. I've been just looking forward to it for a couple of days now. So I'm glad it's here.
Yay, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Okay, so I love starting with what your go-to book of the Bible is.
Oh, that's a good one. I actually have two. My first one would be James, because when I first became a caretaker, that book I turned to one morning when I was just looking for comfort and just help and hope from God. And I, you know how you have that ribbon in your Bible and you open it up and you just go wherever the ribbon is? Well, the ribbon is supposed to be where I was reading that morning. And I open it up and it's James 1:1-3, you know, and I start reading and it's like, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing, you know, and I'm like, slam it shut. And I'm like, really, God, that's your go-to, you know? And I'd had it was the first journey with my husband and his mental health issues. And I was just like, so confused about why that would be the scripture that God gave me. But then when I opened it back up a little while later and I looked at it in the Message, it says, and your faith life will be on display for all to see. And so I started at that moment realizing that God had a plan for all this chaos. And then a few months ago, I just dove into the book of Hebrews, and I think Hebrews would be my favorite, especially if Hebrews 11, because that's like the chapter of faith, right? Yeah. But Hebrews 11:2 in the Message, and I love the Message. It's a paraphrase, but I just love it. And it says that the act of their faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. And it's how they lived out their faith. And I think sometimes when chaos and craziness hits, or when we start the pressure of life, it's hard for us to continue to live out our faith. And so I just feel like that's how God keeps challenging me to show up every single day in my life, which is chaotic and messy, and really pointing people to Him, because that's the plan.
Mm-hmm. Those go together so beautifully. And that's so Right, like we questioned, like this morning I was in First Peter and it was like, hey, like you're gonna see trials, but it's for God's glory and it's gonna and it was talking about like our faith. It was through faith you will walk through these things.
Yes.
And it's so spot on. Like God has a plan and a purpose for all of it, but through those trials and through those just chaotic times, people see our faith in God. And it just proves to us, hey, like I really do trust in God because there's no way I'd be making it if I didn't. So it's
Yeah.
just, I love
Oh.
that. Thank you so much. That's like quotable right there. I love that.
I was just going to say it's hard because when chaos and trials hit us, sometimes we feel like God is punishing us. Sometimes we can fall into that mindset that says, "Oh, I must be doing something wrong." And other people actually do that. I've had people say to me, "Oh, what
Yeah.
did you do to make God so mad at you?" And I'm like, "Nothing."
Nothing.
And I go back to the words. It says the act of their faith is what distinguished them. It's not what saved them. It's not even what determined whether God was active in their life. It's how they walk out their faith. And
Yeah.
so for me, it just appears that God has a plan for the trials because they keep coming.
Oh, so it's so true. Like he uses it, and it was nothing we did. Nothing we
No,
did.
nothing
So,
we did.
oh
Nothing.
man.
So,
Oh, that was so good. All right, we can go home. Like that was awesome. No. Carol, tell us who you are and why we're talking about caretaking with you.
So my name is Carol and I live in California. I love to say I'm Carol from California. And I have been a speaker and a Bible teacher and a pastor's wife for 45 years. Can you believe that? Oh my gosh, that's hard to even say. Been married for 47. My husband was a pastor. He's now retired. And about 10 years ago, I woke up one morning and my life just fell apart. My husband began to struggle with anxiety. Then the anxiety brought depression, and then depression brought suicidal ideation and thoughts. And he just didn't want to live anymore. And it began this, what has ended up being an 8-year chaotic, messy journey of living with someone who struggles with mental health issues and learning what that looks like. And along the way, a friend of mine is like, "Why?" And I couldn't find help. That was the biggest thing, Kayla. I kept looking for help, and there's a lot of help and some resources for the person who's struggling, but for the caretaker, there isn't a lot. And so I kept just trying to find ways to cope. And one day, a friend of mine about 4 years ago said, "Why are you still looking for help? Why are you not telling people what you've learned? You are the healthiest person I know, living in a messiest life I can even imagine." And so I wrote a book called "Are You Ready to Find Joy When Life Gets Messy?" And because that is sort of the underlying theme of my life, that we can have joy even when life gets crazy, because our joy is not in the circumstances, our joy is in the Lord. And if we understand that, it makes it easier. So I began my caretaking journey full time about 10 years ago, and to this day continues. I now my book is out into the world. It came out in January of 2023, and so I'm traveling and speaking and sharing the things that I've learned about being a caretaker. And then in January of this year, 1 year to the anniversary of the book coming out, I began working on a podcast called The Caretaker's Journey, brand new website. And what I'm doing now is building a community of encouragement, support, and hope for those of us who are in the caretaker's role. And Kayla, I don't know if you know this, but there are over 55 million unpaid caretakers in the United States alone.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That's
And
insane.
75% of them are women.
Oh, wow.
And the ages, it ranges in age. The average age is 49 to 65.
Oh my
And so,
goodness.
yes. And if your listeners are sitting there today going, "Okay, think about it. They probably know a care. If they're not a caretaker, they probably know one." And then if they aren't a caretaker now, there's a 1 in 5 chance that they're going to become one in the future. So what I've discovered is that this is a huge part of our population that doesn't have any encouragement. And so I've sort of made it, I've sort of taken on the mantle. God has just really ordained that this is my job. So I spend a lot of time just encouraging people who are in that caretaking role.
And obviously, it's needed. 55 million unpaid.
I know.
That blows my mind. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And that's just in the US. That's not
Right.
counting all of the ones in the world. And I
Right.
think I want to say it's over 70 million. There's a lot of us in the United States. But I found out different cultures do it better than we do. So like the Filipino and the Asian culture, they are huge on family caretaking, and it becomes almost like a family job. They band
Yeah.
together. And what I've discovered that a lot of the people in the US, we isolate. We try to do it on our own. We are afraid to talk about it. We get caught up in trying to fix it when we can't fix it. And so I'm trying to just share some important things to keep us healthy while we're trying to care for our loved one.
Oh, and it, oh, thank you. Like, from all of those that have been caretakers or will be, like, it is so needed, just like you said. And like, thank you for the bravery that this takes. Like, this takes a lot of courage and a heck of a lot of confidence in Christ that he's going to carry you through on such a big task. But it, we were talking before we hit record, like, it is amazing how God has literally just been like, here's this, here's this. Oh, you need people to talk to? Here they are. Oh, you need this resource? Here it is. And like, he, like, you are exactly where God wants you. And it is
Yes.
so much fun as a friend to be able to witness that because, oh my goodness, I met Carol back in September of 23, and so much has happened in that amount of time for both of us. But man, just to
Yes.
watch her just step into that role, because I remember then you were like, is that really something I should be doing? And from there, like, here we are. And for other people to know that there is someone out there that has been there, that has done that, and that has struggled, but can walk alongside them with that community and just that encouragement is huge. And I love that you've got the book, the, like, Are You Ready to Find Joy? Like, that's not just for caretakers, that's for anybody. But then the podcast is there. Like, it's just, there's so many resources, and it's so beautiful because we
Thank
need
you.
them.
Thank
So,
you. Thank you.
what would you kind of define as a caretaker? So, if somebody's like, I might be a caretaker, but I'm not quite sure, because just like you said, we isolate ourselves or we don't really like bring attention to it. So, what would you define as a caretaker?
Well, the simple definition is a caretaker is anyone who provides care for another person. That's the simple definition. And it can encompass even a mother caring for child, raising children. I have a daughter-in-law who's raising four little kids, and I'm telling you that and I better get this right. They're 9, 7, 5, and 2,
Oh my
and she.
goodness.
Yes, and she homeschools them. And it is a full-time job for her to care for them.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what I share can apply to a mom with little children. Most of what I share is the caretaker who is more than responsible, meaning it's either a family member or a loved one who has a mental impairment, a mental disability, mental illness. Somebody who is not capable of caring for themselves, somebody who has a terminal illness. I care for my mom who lives in assisted living. And so I don't care for her on a daily basis, but what I do is I care for her by taking care of her finances, making sure that whatever she needs is in her apartment and working with her nurses. And then I fly in to Milwaukee every 7 weeks to take her to doctor's appointments and see her and put eyes on her and talk to her nurses. And my sister and her girls are there. So I just have another element of care taking care of them. And so it's really when you step into the gap, almost like holding up someone who physically cannot care for themselves.
Man, and I didn't even think of finances like that. And it is like that is so true, all of that. And it's so nice to have kind of a definition continuing with this conversation. Like, all right, what does that look like? So if you're listening and you have fallen into that category, which you probably have according to the statistics, then like sit down and really listen to what we are going to say. I mean, from before, but also now on, because this is going to reach you right where you are. And that's one thing that I always want with this podcast is like, I want to reach people right where they are. I want to encourage them and I want to give them hope, but also like maybe say some hard truths that like we have to focus more on Jesus or whatever that is. So being a caretaker, like it can leave you feeling overwhelmed, completely drained, just like stuck alone, like you said, like just that isolation. So, like, what can caretakers do to get relief from that?
Well, one of the things that I discovered early on in my journey was when I would go to a dark place, I would be overwhelmed. I would be terrified. I would be tired. I would be feeling stuck. And the thoughts in my mind would start being, I didn't sign up for this. What the heck happened to my life? Where are you, God? What did I do to make you? And I even asked myself a couple times, what did I do to make you so mad? Which is spiritually wrong. It's not true because God is working through, as we talked about when I talked about the scriptures. But there's a certain moment when you get so tired and you're so exhausted that your brain will actually start asking these questions. And what I discovered and what I talk about in my book is you have to ask the right questions. You don't say, what did I do? What if his suicidal ideation comes back? What if this? What if that? What I had to do was come to the point where I would say, okay, this is happening. Then the question is, now what? I'm overwhelmed. Now what? I'm tired. Now what? There's a leaning in to whatever is going on and saying, now what? And when I open myself up to now what, then I allow God to step in and take care of me. And He takes care of me in bizarre ways, whether somebody will text me out of the blue, call me out of the blue, show up on my front porch out of the blue, invite me to go to lunch, invite me out for coffee. Something will always happen when I get to that point. Because the truth is, especially with my husband, I didn't sign up for this. I made a vow before God 47 years ago to love and honor and cherish in sickness and in health. And this is part of that vow. And I want my children and I want my friends and the people who watch my life to see what it looks like to step into those hard times. And I've been in therapy and therapy is critical. I think asking the right question means that you're taking your focus off the pressure and you're putting your focus on God. And I will tell you, God is the foundation of everything that I do. He is the stability. He is that person that I run to. And then out of that, you have to strengthen your physical, your emotional, your mental. You have to eat right. You have to eat. Sometimes I forget to eat. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, sometimes I just forget to eat. I just get so caught up in it, I forget. And I think just really for me, there's a mindset that says, okay, this is happening. Now what?
Great question to ask yourself because, in a way, you're taking those thoughts captive and not letting them run away with you. And you're just like, listen, no, we are not going there. I'm going to look at what my reality is right now and I'm going to ask, now what? Like, what is God going to do through this? How is God going to move and make things better? Because He promises that He will. And just watching that mindset shift is huge. And it takes practice. Like, that does not happen overnight. I'm sure it took you a
No,
long time to kind of get that
it
now what?
did.
Because a short thing, just two words, now what, can change everything. Whether you're a caretaker or not, like, they change everything. Like, oh my goodness, this horrible thing just happened. Now what? Like, it's so smart. So that's like one you put in your pocket and you don't ever take out. That's so good.
And for me, isolation is my go-to when I start to feel like you're already feeling alone. And so then I have to say, okay, I feel alone. Now what? Well, when I look at it, it's usually because I've pulled away. I have a friend who we text probably every day. And if 2 or 3 days goes by and she hasn't heard from me, she'll call me and she'll go, what's going on? I haven't heard from you. You haven't texted me. You haven't responded to my text, you know, and it's usually because it's hard. I'm in a hard place and I'm isolating. And isolation is one of those natural tendencies because it feels a lot to take a shower. It feels a lot to put your clothes on. I mean, like there have been days, I will tell you, there have been days where I have not gotten out of my pajamas for like days, no shower, no nothing. And then all of a sudden, somebody will call and say, I need to go to, come on, let's go to lunch. We'll have to take a shower. I have to get my clothes on. And sometimes just the movement of taking a shower and putting your clothes on and getting in the car and driving and finding out where my daughter is and can she, manage my phone, keep an eye on her dad for a little while. It's like, and yet as I go through those motions, I'm exhausted to start with. As I begin, I get out of the shower and I feel a little bit better and I put on my clothes and I put on my makeup. And then the next thing you know, you go out into the sunshine and you're like, oh, okay, this is fun. Sit down, you start to feel better. And yet the tendency is to say, no, I don't feel like I need to, I think I need to just stay home. And that's the wrong thing to do. You need to get up. I met with a woman, a friend of mine, very dear, dear friend of mine a few weeks ago. And we were having breakfast, and it was the first time she had been out of her house away from her spouse who's struggling with Alzheimer. And we couldn't figure out when the last time had been. And it was starting to wear on her. And so sometimes it takes someone to just kind of force you out. Or sometimes you have to take the initiative. I can now tell, okay, I need to go have lunch with Eleanor, or I need to reach out and go have lunch with Tammy or whatever. And I have to make the initial because everyone's busy. And sometimes I just have to say, hey, I need to get out of the house for a little while. Could we have lunch? Which is a hard thing to do. It's
Oh,
a hard
so
thing.
hard.
But my friends are like, absolutely. When can we do? Let's do it sooner than later. So they're not sitting around waiting for me. But sometimes I tend to sit around waiting for them and I shouldn't. So there's two sides to isolation. So,
Yes. Oh, that's such a huge point. Like, you can't just sit around and wait for them. Like, yes, they know your situation's hard, but they also know that your situation is hard and they don't want to add one more thing. But you have to take that initiative yourself sometimes. Oh, that was good. Oh, that was so good. I feel like just as a mom, I need to do that sometimes. What? All
Oh,
right, I can't take it anymore. Get me out of here. Like, who wants to go to dinner?
absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I go up once a month to my son's house. In fact, I'm leaving tomorrow to go up to my son's house for 4 days. And one of the things that I will do is I will give them a day or night away to do whatever they want. And I'll stay with the kids and just to give them a break because they need a break.
That's huge. Oh, and so needed from the young moms out there. Thank you, Carol, because we need people like you. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Oh, this has been so good already, but I'm not done. Like, I have more
Oh, you're not
questions.
done.
I'm
Okay.
not done. Sorry, I have a couple more questions. So, encouragement for those
Okay.
that are like going through this, like whether it's recent or like I took care of my mom for a little while before she passed on, so like there's grief that comes with this too, like whether the person has passed or not, but like that grief that you carry with it, like how can we encourage those that are kind of walking in that like grieving of how life used to be and how it is
Yes.
now?
Oh, that's a good question, Kayla, because I have a friend who was a life coach, and it was she who encouraged me after this whole thing with the caretakers became sort of a calling on my life that to go back and become a mental health and a life coach. One thing that she told me very early on in this journey was that you're grieving now. And I'm like, no, he's still here. We think because our loved one is still alive, we think because we're still caring for them, that there's no grieving to be done. We feel like if, they're having a terminal illness, we're going to grieve when they're gone, but that's not what happens. What happens is we start grieving from the moment that the life changes. So for me, I started into a grieving process 10 years ago. When my husband had to retire, we lost our house. We had to sell our house. We came and we moved in with our daughter. And I live in a little two-bedroom apartment attached to her house, which is adorable, but it's not what I had. And there's so many things that were lost. And I didn't, for 2 years, I didn't realize that I was grieving what was lost and what would never be again. And when I started to work through that grief process, I started to understand that the changes And the loss was a part of the process. And so
Mm-hmm.
we need to actually start working through grief while
Yeah.
we're dealing with, especially if you're dealing with someone who has, like my mom, she has a terminal illness. We don't know how long it's going to last, but there's a part of me every time I see her, every time I talk to her, I'm grieving. I'm grieving the loss of her being a certain action, how she acted in my life at a certain point. And so
Yeah.
I think I would encourage the listeners to begin almost working through. I have a beautiful little book, and if I can find it, I'll send it. I'll send the name of it to you so you can put it in your show notes. But it's
Yeah.
just a little tiny book that I started to work through about grief. And she's like, you need to do some grief work. And so when I brought it up to my therapist a couple of weeks later, he's like, that is genius. And I was going to tell you that.
Yeah.
And so I, God had already walked in front of me. The other thing I think is that we have to learn to live in the moment. And it's very normal for us to rush into the future or to live in the past.
Yeah.
And we miss what's going on in the moment. And so for me, one of the things that I would really highly, highly, highly encourage is look for those moments in the day where you can just live and enjoy and be. For us, it's laughter and finding things to laugh about because there are things to laugh about. There are, if you look hard enough, I have a friend whose mom was going through Alzheimer's and they took her to the dentist. And it was a very rough cleaning. And when they came out of the dentist office, they were walking into the car and they'd given her some Tylenol or ibuprofen or something because the dentist had said, this is going to be so painful for her. And so as she was walking to the car, my friend said her mom was just shaking her head and you could tell that she was in so much pain. And as she got into the car and was fastening her seatbelt, her mom looked at her and said, that was the most painful hair appointment I have ever been through. But doesn't my hair look nice? And the daughter just looked at her and said, Mom, you are beautiful. And so you just kind of laugh because you're like,
Yeah.
oh my gosh. And she goes, I just giggled to myself as I walked back around the corner to the get in the driver's side of the car. She said, you know, thank you, God, for something we can laugh about. Thank
Yes,
you for that
we.
memory. And I think we need to make memories. Make memories. So how can we make a memory today?
Yeah, I love that, and I laugh because like I've totally seen that. Like when my mom was really sick right before she passed, she was really deprived in like potassium. And when you're deprived of potassium, like your brain just
Yes.
does not work right. And she like in the moment I was so frustrated because she was like, "No, I don't need to do that." And I'm like, "Mom, like you have to like I can't remember what it was like, pick up the glass to drink the water." Like what it was something really
Yeah.
silly. And then the moment I was like, "Woman, I love you with all of me, but like, come on." And looking back, I laugh because I'm like, it was a great memory, but like, oh my goodness, like, thank you, Lord, for that like joy in the middle of complete and utter pain because you're
Oh.
like, this is awful, but God does that. He's like, hey, like, I'm still here. There, just like it says, rejoice in all
Yes.
trials and things like that. And that's a way that we can do that and to look back and to like make those memories as we are walking through it. I think the whole
Yes.
like grieving as you go along is so important
Yes.
because if you don't, oh my goodness, all that bottled up is going to be one heck of a mess on your hands afterwards. And if you can grasp that now in the midst of the chaos and of the caretaking, it's going to make all the difference because so much is changing and you have to be able to process that, and grief is a way to process it. So I absolutely love that encouragement and that tip. Do you have any other like last minute things that you're like, hey, if you are a caretaker, I really want you to know this. I want you to hear this from my heart, or anything
Yeah.
to that effect?
Yes, I need the caretakers to understand that there is a new illness that has been listed in the medical journals, and psychiatrists call it a very debilitating illness, and it's called caretaker's burnout. And it's something that they're now recognizing as epidemic form.
Oh.
Oh,
Because
man.
as the mental health crisis rises, as our physical illnesses rise, we went through a lot during COVID with a lot of illnesses and things. They have discovered that there's a burnout that happens, and it is a physical burnout. It is not just a mental burnout. And a lot of times a caretaker will get so burnt out, they will actually become physically ill themselves, if not begin to struggle with anxiety and depression there in their own lives. And so it's really, really critical to pay attention to how you sleep, to pay attention to how you eat. If you can do nothing but go sit in the sunshine or go for a walk for maybe 5 or 10 minutes in the sunshine, sunshine is critical for healing your body. Sleep. If you can get 6 hours of straight good sleep where you actually go into a REM cycle, it actually repairs your brain. It'll actually go up and do some damage repair in your brain. And eating. And it's really hard because I know in our culture, and I have done this, where we eat the things that we think are going to make us feel good in that moment. But it's probably better to reach for the broccoli than the ice cream because in the long
There.
run. And what I did for myself is I pushed myself and I went back to a very, very, very hard workout every morning, 5 mornings a week, just to really push your body to the to see your get your muscles. And then self-care. Huge, 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 huge on self-care. Make sure you get your hair cut regularly. Make sure, yeah, things like that. If you like to color your hair, go get it done. Don't wait till there's gray stripes, streaks in your hair. A lot of the caretakers are older women. Don't wait till the gray starts poking out. If you dye your hair, go get it done. Get a nice cut. Get up in the morning and put your makeup on. Take care of yourself. I get a massage. I get a deep tissue massage every month because it takes all the stress and the toxins out of my body. Just take care of yourself. That's the most important. If you can't take care of yourself, then you're not going to be able to take care of anyone else. And eventually, both of you will be in trouble.
Oh, man. I made a giant list that you were as you were talking, so I'm gonna put that in the show notes. That way people can be like, all right, like here's my quick, like this is what I need to do because it is, it's so important. And I as silly as this, I never thought of like getting your hair done and like putting on makeup and things like that as like self-care, but it is, it reminds you that like you are yourself. Like, yes, you are taking care of someone else, but that is not necessarily like your identity. Like you are still you and you have your own interests and things like that. This is just the season that God has called you to. And it might be a short season, it might be a long one, but God still loves you as you. And this is just what He's got for you at the moment. So,
Absolutely.
Carol, this has been so good. I could, oh man. Okay. So, since we can't talk forever, you guys have to go over, follow the link in the show notes to Carol's podcast because this is literally just like the tip of the iceberg of what she shares over there. Make sure you follow the link to her website. Share it with everyone because this is huge. Like, nobody's
Thank you.
talking about this. No one is sharing anything about it. And like, Carol is just literally like blazing the trail on this topic. And it's so important because I mean, I can't even name all the people that I know that are caretakers and they need these things so bad. So, Carol, I kind of mentioned the website and your podcast. What other ways can people contact you and get with you?
So the Caretaker's Journey is a brand new ministry that just launched in late January and February. The podcast has, I think, the fourth episode is going to drop Friday, and I have so many exciting things lined up, and we're building a community, and I don't know exactly what that looks like yet. So if you go to thecaretakersjourney.com and there's a place for you to sign up for the email list, then you'll know what's going on. And then all of my social media right now is at my original ministry at Carol's Journey, Carol's Journey. So you can find me on any of the platforms, the social media platforms at Carol's Journey. And then eventually we'll be launching the Caretaker's Journey social medias. But right now I just have the names. I haven't done anything yet.
Just because this is a very new, it's a very, very new ministry, and I'm
Yeah.
excited. I'm just excited. My book is everywhere. It's called "Are You Ready to Find Joy When Life Gets Messy?" And it is the story of how I've walked the last 8 years with my husband, who struggles with anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation. So, and if you want to just put my email in the show notes,
Yeah, for sure.
they can reach out to me via email.
Yeah.
I love just encouraging. Or direct message me through social media is great too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Carol, this has just been an absolute joy. I feel like just so encouraged and just
Oh, thank
so
you.
expectant of what God is going to do with this conversation and with your ministry and all the things. So thank you so much for your time and just for your heart and for the
Thank
work that
you.
you're doing. It's so
Oh,
important.
thank you, Kayla, for giving us a voice.
Yes. This is an episode that you need to save. Download this, save it everywhere because it is completely life transforming. The fact that there are so many caretakers in the US, I mean, in the world, and there's no help for them. There is no support, nothing. And here is Carol just blazing the way, helping caretakers, letting them know that they are seen, that there is someone out there that can relate to them, and then give them guidance and help on how to take care of themselves and just how to seek God in all of that. It is just absolutely amazing. This is not a podcast that you just keep to yourself. This is one that you share with everyone that you know. Give this link to anyone that you might even suspect is a caretaker, a mom, anyone. They need to hear this message from Carol. It is going to change their life. Oh my goodness. I just cannot emphasize enough how much people need to hear this message. And don't just stop here. Listen to this one over and over again, yes, but then find Carol's podcast, The Caretaker's Journey. Find her website. Everything is listed down in the show notes below. But share this, get her book. Oh my goodness, you guys, you are going to be so incredibly blessed just by the content that God is giving Carol to share with you, because it is from the heart of the Lord, and it is so for you. Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. God is so good. I am so thankful for Him giving me this connection to Carol so I could share her story with you and just give you some hope today. I pray that, again, that this just met you right where you are, and that if you are hungry for more of the Lord, that if you just desire for more deep connection with Him and you just want to learn how to embrace Him, that I have got an online on-demand course waiting and ready for you. It is called the Embracing the Word course, and it is a journey, a 30-day journey on how to learn how to wholeheartedly receive what God has waiting for you in Scripture. I just launched my summer course club, where you and a group of friends, your Bible study ladies who take the summer off, that you guys can get a great discount and extra leadership guides and all of that sort of things for your group of friends or your Bible study group to walk through the Embracing the Word course together this summer, learning how to embrace the Lord, hear His voice, understand Him, know what it means to open the Bible and understand it without anyone else explaining it to you, being able to just receive a word from the Lord just straight from His heart. Like, it is so amazing. So if that is something that you are interested in, make sure you go to my website. Under courses, you can click on Summer Course Club. All of the information is there. You can fill out the interest form and just give me a little bit of information, and then I'll contact you and we'll chat and figure out what is going to work best for you and your group of friends or your Bible study group. Because this summer does not have to be a summer of running around craziness. It can be a summer of you transforming your life with the Lord, and I would love to just be able to help you with that. So if that's something you're interested in, please make sure you check out the Summer Course Club or message me with any questions that you have. friend, I pray that you have a blessed, blessed week, and that as you go away from this podcast, that you don't just think about it as a good idea, but that you actually do something about what you heard. Whether that is something you apply to your own life or sharing it with a friend, make sure you do something about what you heard, because this was by no accident that you heard it. God had this planned for you. I will talk to you again next week. Want to hear more personal and applicable ways to have more confidence in Christ? Check out the daily CCKs, 2 to 3 minutes to start your day off with confidence-filled scripture. Until next time, authentically share your confidence in Christ with others.